This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, an update on that bridge collapse in Minneapolis and also problems of electronic voting. But first, this week the FCC announced new rules that would govern an upcoming auction for part of the wireless spectrum. Sounds pretty dull, doesn't it? But the implications of the ruling are quite exciting and could make a big difference in how you shop for cell phone service in the future or how you experience new wireless internet technology. For example, part of the rules state that companies will have to allow any device on their networks using any software. Joining me now to talk about the rules and what they might mean for consumers is Steve Cherry. He's a senior associate editor at IEEE Spectrum. That's a publication of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. He's here in our New York studios. Welcome.
Hi.
Are you excited by this ruling?
I'm very excited by this ruling.
Get me excited by it. What's so exciting about it?
Let's first talk about how important the spectrum is. And there's two reasons it's important. First of all, there's a fair amount of it. And second of all, it's really good spectrum. It's considered beachfront property.
What do we mean by spectrum? Just define that for us.
Radios, such as the ones that we're broadcasting over and the ones in our cell phones, emit radio waves, digital nowadays, and that's how we broadcast things, how we hear things, how we talk to one another on our phones and everything else. The broad range of spectrum is divided up into frequency bands, and 84 megahertz is being auctioned off this time around. 24 of it is going to emergency services, and that alone is
fire and police and things like
that. That's very important. Yeah. If you think about the way radios failed at 9/11, and when you think about things like the Minnesota bridge collapse, the explosion here in New York a couple of weeks ago, three blocks from these studios, communication is incredibly important in those situations. So that's interesting. But the other 60 megahertz is going for basically wireless services that can either be voice or data. 60 megahertz is a lot. Satellite radio, for example, everything from Bob Edwards to Howard Stern, is 25 megahertz. And not only that, but it's
the whole satellite radio.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's way up there in the in the higher frequencies. Wi-Fi and everything that's happened with Wi-Fi is only 84 megahertz, and that's at a much higher frequency. Now, Ira, the lower you go in the spectrum, the better the propagation of the radio waves. And what that means is radio waves can punch through walls. So if you know how inferior your cell phone service can be inside a building.
Can you hear me now?
That's because those radio waves are at a high frequency and they're just not able to penetrate those exterior walls of your building. These radio waves will be able to.
That is the beachfront property.
Exactly.
Now, but what will allow, tell us what the ruling means to me who wants to. I want to choose my own cell phone. I want to choose my own carrier. Am I going to be able to do that?
Well, that depends on who gets the spectrum. And the FCC and the U.S. Department of Commerce are going to be auctioning off the spectrum. They've been doing this since 1994. They know what they're doing. The last one netted $13 billion for the U.S. government. It was a little bit more spectrum than is available here, but again, it was at higher frequencies. So this auction is estimated to go, most people are saying about $15 billion. There's one party who's actually going to be one of the bidders who are saying $20 billion to $30 billion.
That's a lot higher than Google offered at $4.5 billion.
Google offered $4.6 billion. That's what they said they would bid. We haven't actually seen whether they're going to bid.
The opening
whether,
shot,
yeah, exactly.
But what? Let's get into the meat of the proposal and the allocation, and repeat my question. Will that you say that depends on who gets the auction, who wins? What do you mean by that?
Well, I actually should have said it depends to some extent who wins the auction. For example, if Sprint wins the auction. There's at least two different things that they might do with it. One is they have a partnership with cable companies. Cable companies would like to offer what's called the four-play, which is television, broadband, telephony, and the fourth play, wireless telephony, which they haven't been able to offer. Sprint also has a partnership with a company called Clearwire, and they want to build between them a fourth-generation data network that would blanket the entire United States at data rates ranging from 1 to 10 megabits per service. But keep in mind that your average cable service is actually in that range. Your DSL is in that range.
But if they get it, but doesn't the ruling mean that they have to open it up to allow me not to take them?
Well, that's the interesting thing. So Google fired this opening shot, this $4.6 billion bid, with a request or an understanding on the basis that this spectrum would be used very differently from your regular cellular spectrum. They wanted the network to be open with respect to devices. Any device should be able to connect to the network. So your locked cell phones would be completely unlocked. And not only that, but literally any device that somebody could build, maybe based on the Linux operating system or something, would operate. They wanted any application to work on these devices. And finally, they wanted anybody to be able to use the spectrum so long as it didn't interfere with the owner of the right to use the spectrum.
They didn't get all of that.
They didn't get that last one. Mm-hmm. They did get the first two, though. The chair of the FCC, Kevin Martin, announced recently that the any device, any applications, those would be the rules for this spectrum. That's not true of really any other spectrum that's owned, so to speak, by anybody. It's really very similar in some ways to the Wi-Fi arrangement that we have. Mm-hmm.
So even if one of these big companies outbids Google, let's say it was Sprint or one of those things, they still, even though they're going to offer you the foreplay, they still have to allow you to choose something else.
That's right.
If you want.
You could bring your cell phone, and as long as it's technically able to communicate through those in that frequency, then you'd be able to use it. You would just say, I'll sign up for your service, but here's the cell phone that I'm going to be using, or here's the PDA that I'm going to be using, or here's the weird device that I'm going to be using.
But I still have to sign up for your service.
That's right.
They didn't win a sign. That was the part that Google did not get. You can sign up for any service that you want with any phone.
Right.
So you think this is a real big win for consumers?
I think it's a really good first step. You know, ultimately, consumers might be better off with that third rule that Google didn't get. But we're going to be better off with these other two rules. I can tell you as an iPhone user.
Oh, you're one of those few.
One of those few. I would really love it if, I could unlock that device, if I could put other SIM chips in that phone and be able to use it, or if I could be able to use that phone elsewhere.
There are reports today on the internet. There's a report from PC World that says that Google is showing now a phone prototype of its own.
I think that's not a surprise. Google has made clear that they really want to be in the communications business. They've been a backer of some of these citywide Wi-Fi network attempts that people are still working on in Philadelphia and San Diego. There's one a couple in Google's backyard in Silicon Valley that are up and running. They sponsor the free Wi-Fi in Bryant Park right across the street from this studio.
So when does the auction take place? When will we know what's available to us?
The auction is slated to take place sometime by January, which probably means January, and it could even be delayed, or even if it starts in January, it could actually drag out from there because these things have in the past.
Mm-hmm. And does it look like Google's becoming the new Microsoft in this new world?
They compete to some extent, and they do very different things to some extent. So they may be another Microsoft, but I don't think that they're the next Microsoft.
In terms of having monopoly and having the most...
Yeah, I mean,
their
cloud is in, some pretty different areas. And if you think about it, we really could have 5 or 10 years from now, three big players counting Apple who, have their own niche. Mm-hmm.
Well, this beachfront property spectrum that you say that can penetrate walls and things like that, who had it before? What was it?
Well, that's a good question because there's actually more of it that might become available in the future. So that's interesting. It comes from the UHF television bands. So in 2009, we're all converting from
all those TV bands with that little round antenna we used to have on our TV shows.
Yeah, those extra channels.
Those extra
beyond
channels
13.
Before cable.
Exactly.
That's where it's coming from.
Yeah, which are still used, but they're not going to be used for much longer. And so the FCC has started to free up those bands. The 700 megahertz actually consists of about, 108 megahertz proper. Mm-hmm. They've already allocated the lower portion of the 700 megahertz range. And the upper portion, this 84 megahertz, 24 of which is going to emergency services, and the other 60 is going to be freed up. The auction is now, but we won't be able to use it until 2009 when we all switch off our analog TVs and go
now,
to digital.
Now, is there extra bandwidth after that available?
Well,
and that seems to
there
be.
Is. There you is. Know, ultimately, there could be as much as 290 megahertz, of which this is about 100. So another 100.
Could there be a different ruling on that one?
There could be completely different
so
rulings.
So once the ball gets rolling and people like this whole new world of, hey, I can choose my own phone, isn't that amazing?
That's right.
It could snowball, maybe.
It could snowball. And we could end up with a really good spectrum allocation that was as free and open as Wi-Fi, but at a better propagation rate.
Why am I suspicious of this whole thing?
Suspicious?
You hear the cable companies, the phone companies are still in control of the frequencies. You wonder, is that any of this really going to happen?
Well, the interesting thing is we're still not at the point that some utopian telecommunications idealists would like us to be.
Thank you.
in fact, we're pretty far short of that. There are people who would like the entire spectrum. Everything to be as wide open as Wi-Fi. And they say, let the devices run around as they may, and you can have certain basic rules of the road, just like we have rules of the road for the Internet.
You know,
we have the IP protocol and so forth. But other than that, everybody else should just run wild. And we're nowhere near that for anything except Wi-Fi,
that's
which
not
is just
happen.
This very narrow little channel.
Not going to happen soon. Thank you, Steve. Stephen Cherry is a senior associate editor at the IEEE Spectrum and our guru on this bandwidth auction coming up. Stay with us. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to stay with high tech and talk about something a little more important in the immediate future, and that is voting machines, electronic voting machines, how easy they are to hack into. Some gurus have been testing out the systems in California. There's some also reports out today about Florida, but we're going to focus on California and the state there asking these guys to come in and see if they can break in. And it didn't seem to be too hard. We'll talk about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.